Good afternoon, Amine.
Hi, hi.
So your study has found that 14% of Australian children aged 6 to 7 had noticeably high levels of emotional problems. What do you think is the reasoning behind this?
Well, look, this just sounds like a relatively high number, but I have to say that some of the international research also shows a similar rate of emotional problems between children internationally. So while the number is a bit high, it's not so surprising. Why we see such a rate of emotional problems among children is not an easy question to answer, because the research that looks at emotional problems during early childhood is very limited. We know a lot more when children are getting older and when they're teenagers or with adults, but we know very little about children's emotional problems. So this is why we did our study. Basically, I can probably say this was the first study in Australia that looked at such a large sample, and we were trying to find out what is the prevalence of emotional problems among children. So I know that I didn't answer your question of saying why there is such a rate of emotional problems among children. I mean, I can tell you more about the risk factors that we found based on our study. So probably those are the reasons that at the moment we know of these emotional problems among children.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of those things where it's not so much a straight answer as well. There's lots of things that do come into play with that.
Yes, of course.
And for someone that is going through emotional problems in their childhood, how may this affect their relationship, say, with their parents, with their classmates, with their teachers?
Look, obviously, it is it's very difficult for children who are experiencing emotional problems, because a child who is experiencing an anxiety, for example, or some levels of depressive symptoms, this child is not that the child is not able to communicate the problems they are having. Most likely, they're not even able to understand that they are experiencing something unusual. So obviously, it makes it quite problematic for the child to be able to, let's say, make friends or to be able to even communicate with their parents about the problems they are having. I would say for the children, it's quite difficult, especially at that age, because the children themselves are not really aware of the problems they're having. I mean, even with adults, as you know, many adults go through depression without really knowing that they are experiencing signs of depression. So you can imagine when it comes to children, it's a lot more difficult, and that's why it needs a lot more attention from the adults around the child to realize that this child is experiencing some unusual problems when it comes to how they communicate with their friends or adults in their environment.
Yeah, definitely. So for a child that is going through this, they're not necessarily sure what it is. How can this be problematic if it's left untreated?
Oh, definitely it is. It is very problematic because, I mean, we know that depression is costing society billions of dollars. Depression and anxiety are quite costly for the society. And these are the problems which are, if they are left untreated, they continue through to adulthood. So not only that the child will carry on these problems with them through to adulthood, but when they are in their environment, I mean, this affects their school performance, for example. It affects the social network that children can make for themselves. It is quite noticeable, the negative influences of having internalizing problems for children and how that affects their performance and their development.
Yeah, definitely. And what can parents do to overcome these issues?
Well, what we found in our study, we found several factors that parents can do to help their children or to prevent the children having some levels of internalizing problems. I would say the first thing that parents should do and should be aware of is to start early thinking about their children's mental health and the relationship they have with their parents. For example, something that we saw in our study, which had a very important impact throughout the time that we studied these children, was parenting behavior, and specifically angry parenting. So when parents in those early years, when children are 4 years old, let's say, I mean, this is what our data had, but obviously even before that, when children are born, or, you know, when they're growing up, when parents are angry with children, the parents cannot, cannot have warm parenting towards their children, that's a risk factor. That means children will possibly or at risk of developing some kind of emotional problems. So warm parenting and not having angry parenting is something that parents should take note of. So one matter is parenting behavior. Something else that we have found is emotional regulation. Again, this is something that parents can take into account when they're communicating with their children or when they're teaching things to their young children as they're growing up. So emotional regulation is when children can understand their own emotions and regulate their emotions in a healthy way. So instead of, for example, sitting and crying and shouting, they can say, I'm frustrated, and they can say what they need. Obviously, these are the skills that children need to learn throughout time. But parents can help their children to understand their own emotions and to be able to talk about their emotions and to communicate those emotions and to regulate their emotions. So emotional regulation was another factor that we found in our study that possibly can be related to how parents can help their children. But also we found that peer problems are another risk factor. So children who have problems making friendships and maintaining friendships are children who will have escalation of their emotional problems. And how parents can help their children with this peer problem. I mean, peer problem, a part of peer problem can be, for example, when the child is bullied at school, but that's not the only thing. Another aspect of peer problem is when the child is friendly, they can make friends, they can communicate with their friends. And in friendship skills, in another study, we have found that children who have cooperation skills, they cooperate, they work with other children, or children who have sympathy, for example, are children who are more popular and they make better friends. So I would say parents, from very early on, they can encourage their children to cooperate with other children, to play with other children peacefully, to be friendly to other children, to share, for example, their toys with other children. Very simple things that probably all parents know, but I don't know if they do pay attention how important these things are. Can come into place slowly and make the child, let's say, a more friendly person in the environment, or make the child to be able to make friends, or, not to be able to make friends.
Yeah, definitely. You have given some great suggestions that parents can do. And finally, in 2015, the Australian Early Development Census reported that 1 in 5 children entering school in Australia are developmentally vulnerable. How can our schools and teachers better support these students?
Again, I would say something for teachers and for schools to pay attention is children's social relationships. So when children, especially in the beginning of school, when children enter school, the school environment is socially different for children compared to most of the environments they have experienced previously. I mean, even if the child has been to preschool, still the environment of school is different. Having said that, there are a lot of children in Australia who go to school without having really the experience of a few years of preschool. So I think teachers or schools should pay attention to those children who are showing signs of social problems, whether it's withdrawn behavior, whether there is a child who is isolated, or there is a child who is constantly fighting with their friends. And I think these are the children who need to be identified and need to be a target of some help programs if there is at school. For example, if the teacher has a session of reading books to children and encouraging them to, read a page to their friend beside them. This is just a suggestion I made up, but I'm sure, you know, there's lots of programs that can be implemented at schools, which is with the aim of increasing children's social skills. I think schools probably have been very focused on children's academic skills. For example, children learn literacy and numeracy at school, which is quite important, of course, and it's, you know, a goal for going to school. But I think there's a lot less attention to children's social skills and how children socially can improve their behavior. And that is linked with children's emotional well-being, which is quite important then for their academic success as well.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
That's all right. It was my pleasure. Thank you.